Welcome to the B Show.
The B Show.
The B Show.
A wrestling podcast.
What's up, friends? Here we are, another edition of the B Show. We are here. It's Thursday. We're a little lower day late today. We kind of do these when we can do them, you know what I mean? So, Dixon, my man Veals, Smoothie here with you on a Thursday, of course. And we'll get right into it, man. I think we were just quickly talking about it. The swerve of the week. Obviously, the show's coming back to you on the network, but... Dude, AJ turning on Cena. I thought that was like the greatest thing that happened on Raw this week, honestly.
It's the best thing that's happened in a while.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that, you know, Kaz is and the Dudleys are stiff as hell, and it's hilarious to watch that too. But man, what a... I'm not impressed on Raw with kind of the... I don't care about the brand split, but it was good how they pitched it at the beginning of the show, though. I thought that was pretty cool. With the New Day coming out and basically mocking both of them. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, this is the part where Jay tells us how good an actress Stephanie McMahon is and how she was awesome in that
Actually,
segment.
This week, I'm in agreement with you guys.
Really?
I thought that I wasn't a big fan of the opening segment. I thought that Shane, as much as I love him...
He's pandering
He's pandering, but it's just... He doesn't show a lot of energy. It's kind of, you know, just gets
done.
That smirk and
he's done, man.
Shaking his head.
Do you think he's going to stay, though? That's the question.
He'll stay for a while.
Yeah, he's got to stay for at least 6 months of the brand split to make it
And then
like,
they
pay
have
off.
To bring in somebody huge in order to drop off, because that was one of the biggest issues last year. So or
Trips,
last time.
Bro.
So you think Trips takes over for him? And then
why do you think she's not wearing her wedding ring on TV?
So you think that they're going to be two heel authorities and they're
nope.
running separate?
I think Trips will probably come back as a face.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll be a face Triple H versus a heel Seth Rollins at some point.
What about Steph being face and Triple H being heel?
I don't think she could be a face.
She's not. No, because that's where the shitty acting comes in again.
Yeah. She just, yeah, she's not a face at all. She's just like Vince, man. It just there's being a face is just it's awful.
She wasn't. Here's the thing.
No,
it's
awful.
Not that she. Yeah, it's just it just goes on way too long.
Yeah, I agree with
and
that.
And the corny little jokes in between. I know you're feeling the crowd, and she's trying to get the same love. They comment on Shane's shoes, so she wants to comment on her shoes. It just gets corny. At the end of the day, people just want to see the storylines and the wrestling. Like
right.
Get through it. Talk about the bracelet. Talk about the draft.
Well, I
whatever.
Think they've lulled it to sleep at this point.
Yeah. Well, the natural thing for Trips to step in is because he actually does run NXT, and with Shane being the face of the new era, that's mm-hmm. how they take it one step further. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Trips is obviously going to get the pop now that Rollins is full-blown heel, and
yep.
you know that they have to bring that feud to its culmination at some point.
So you think then, because Reigns is staying on Raw, supposedly.
And Cena's going to the SmackDown.
So then I would assume that means you'd have to keep Rollins with Reigns since they have... Unless
right.
you're just doing a one and done. So if Triple H is on SmackDown,
you know how they can write this stuff up.
You think they're going to cross? I hope they don't cross. I hope it's a hard split for at least a year.
It needs to be a hard split minus the big four pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then you can build towards dream matches yet again. You know
right.
what I mean? Like
yep.
you keep guys like Cruz and Neville away from each other until SummerSlam. And
right.
here you go. Boom. They're in the ring together.
Right. Right. I don't know. I'm still not sold on the brand split. I know they have to do it. I know it needs to be done. I'm not sold. But it needs to be done simple for the simple fact they have a ton of talent sitting in NXT that needs to come up
Agreed.
Onto the roster. I just think the SmackDown will probably be the better show.
Well, it'll be Cena is your top face.
Right.
AJ is your top heel.
Yep.
He'll have the club behind him. Not really sure where else they're going beyond that.
Got
to
put
assume.
New Day. Because they've already...
New Day and Cesaro, I mean, they were advertised for that Mohegan Sun show in Connecticut as being SmackDown branded,
right.
so is Natalya.
And the club beat up the New Day.
Yeah, you gotta
so
assume
you've
that.
Got... Yeah, they'll go. I'm excited because it gives SmackDown a purpose. Instead of just...
Just being a shitty show.
Yeah, instead of just, you know,
and
retreading stories
hours,
and matches.
So it's like, it's a much more manageable thing to watch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a lot easier. Well, I agree.
Yeah,
yeah,
like,
I agree.
I'm more inclined, like, it takes me... less time to zip through, you know what I mean, like on the DVR,
mm-hmm.
just because I'm more compelled to watch the stuff, you
right.
know, so it just, for me, it's an easier watching experience.
Yeah, last couple of weeks, the SmackDown have been really good.
Yeah.
The funny
yeah.
thing is, I never watched SmackDown.
I have it on my DVR so that I can get through it in like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah,
same here.
Yeah, my kid watches it. I don't watch it.
And they're starting to take a little bit more of the storylines, you know, with the club right. and with Rollins into it. So it's nice to see. I mean, you can read about it online beforehand, which is another reason why live is going to be exciting.
Well, because everybody would read about it and be like, all right, what do I need to watch it for? So then your numbers are down. Then they jump networks how many different times with that show. You know what I mean?
It's going to be a tough build. It's a new night at a new time. But by the same token, Tuesday nights, you're not going to be competing with the same stuff you do on Thursday. Right. So there's no Thursday night football. You're not really dealing with too much playoff stuff.
TNA on Pop.
Oh, yeah. Did you watch a little TNA on Pop this week?
No, I have not watched TNA on Pop.
I'm just
going to
put this out there. Matt Hardy, figure it out, dude, because you look like Seth Rollins' weird brother that lives in your mom's basement and plays D&D.
What is the gray? Is it gray? Did I see
it? I'm to tweet the picture right now.
Oh, my. Like, what is that? Like,
I'm not sure what exactly he's going for, but he's definitely bloated and weird.
But he's always been bloated. Is it
not like
now?
This, though, man. Really like, oh, yeah.
He's taking some bad stuff then, huh?
Is that part of the story, though, to let himself go?
No.
Because he's going against his brother?
No.
It's so bad, though. It's TNA is just bad, bad.
Well, here's the thing, and I don't want to give, you know, too much hope, because I know that every time it gets good or decent there, they find some way to shoot themselves
yeah,
in the
right,
foot.
Yeah, right, right.
But I got to tell you, minus the stupid, like C-level Lucha Underground movie thing that happened with the Hardys this week, the show wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Like, Lashley and Bram had a pretty good match. They've got Tyrus and Rockstar Spud together as a tag team that seems to be working really
interesting,
well.
Interesting, interesting.
Bromans are back. Drew Galloway's doing really well with the title. He and Mike Bennett had a nice back and forth with a little bit of comedy
throughout
the show.
Yeah, Mike is good, though. But Mike is, I mean, Mike is really good. He's a good indie guy. You know,
oh, absolutely.
And a good guy to have on that show because he can do so much. You
yeah,
know
and the fact that they're rallying the X Division back up, giving Eddie Edwards a push, giving Zema Ion a push. You've got Shane Helms working with guys like Trevor Lee. Mm-hmm. There's some hope there. But the issue is it's a bad TV deal.
Is it too little too late?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
They have to move their TV, too. You can't compete
against
SmackDown.
They've moved it like 10 times.
No, you have to keep it on the same night. But if you can go 10 to 12.
See, I would go as the lead-in and make it family-friendly.
The problem is you're going to go. You're getting 300,000 on their usually on the first night.
Yeah,
you're going against a live SmackDown now. A lot of those people are going to be tuning in at least for the first couple of months, couple of weeks. If their numbers continue to go down, they're going to get pulled altogether. So if you don't want to move another night, because every time they move a night, their viewers go down. Mm-hmm. I'd say if you can try to keep it on the same night, maybe go back another hour. So it's 10 to 12 because I think SmackDown's 8 to 10, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what they do. But
it's a bad time slot, man. It's not going to work.
Yeah, yeah, and they got the Slammiversary coming up here on 6-12. I guess it's Drew Galloway against Bobby Lashley, DK versus Bromance. Never heard of those guys.
DK Hardy. Is Abyss and Crazy Steve.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. Jeff Hardy versus Matt Hardy.
Oh, really? He still has no idea who they are.
Know who Abyss is.
Have you watched TNA at all?
Yeah. Like, I used to watch it back when AJ and Kurt and all those guys.
It's funny
were
just listening to him talk about Slammiversary and he hasn't. I don't know these guys.
Nah, dude, I used to watch it. I used to watch it probably.
I used to watch it, you know, when they had the weekly pay per views that were $10 a piece.
Oh, my God, right?
Couldn't afford it. I'm not paying for those.
People paid for it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Sonny Siakai?
No, him? Jeff Hardy versus Matt Hardy.
Eh, whatever.
Bennett versus EC3.
But the thing is like, the Hardy versus Hardy has been done. Like, I don't know why they're doing it again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and now they've got Rebby involved, and
it's bad.
It's the worst part of what's going on in TNA because everything else is decent.
I just think there's two guys trying to hold on to something that's not there anymore. It's like, at this point, even though I don't think they can, come back, get a Legends deal, go in the Hall of Fame in WWE, and stay lovey. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think that they're going to be. I truthfully don't think either of them could pass the wellness test at this point.
Probably not.
Because Jeff, you can definitely tell, is back to his old Jeff Hardy ways. Yeah. And Matt Hardy looks like he's been stuffing stuff up his nose for the last 3 months. Yeah. Otherwise, he's just. It's either Twinkies or blow because that's what makes your face that big.
Oh, it's so
the
bad.
Problem is the TNA name is.
It's bad.
It's bad. It's negative. So here we're talking about. We have 3 hours Monday night. You have 2 hours now Tuesday Night Live. Then you have NXT on Wednesday.
Yep.
You have ROH
yep.
whenever, you know, it's being played on during the week. You have New Japan.
Well, you act like everybody's got the network. You know what I mean? Like NXT on Wednesday doesn't impact TV viewership at all.
No, but it's for a lot of the wrestling fans, they do.
Yeah, but it's,
and it's on Hulu now, so you can still watch
like
it.
But it's fans like us.
You're talking maybe
kind of
a
stuff.
Third of the overall wrestling audience has the network, and that's being generous.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that it's so much wrestling to watch.
Yeah.
On a weekly basis, that because TNA has had a negative,
right.
You know, name brand for the last couple of years, people are putting that last on the list to watch. Whether you get NXT or not, you got two or three other things that you're going to watch instead of it.
You know what ROH really could do is be that WCW of the early 90s that just did, like, was it Saturday night? Remember we used to,
605.
605 Saturday night. And in the dark arena where it's just lighted up the ring, and they had some good spots in there too at some point.
Oh, and you're talking when they were at Universal? Or?
Yes. Yeah. Just, you know what? If you just did that, you would build your brand ridiculous.
The problem with that, which I agree with, the problem with that though is that Sinclair owns it. But it's syndicated.
Right.
So, you know, if it's on a local TV station, whether they have the football or
college.
Yeah,
they're
going to
put it where they want it. Right, right.
So that's why you get it in a weird hour at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday and then midnight on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be the local market is going to
dictate
where they put it on the schedule.
I still think that the fix in all of this, if you really want to get down into TV ratings and how to make TV work again, is to go back to that model of Georgia Championship Wrestling, WWF Superstars, is you don't give away any stellar matchups for free. Even if you go back to the early days of Raw, it was squash, 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 and then a C-level guy versus a B-level guy. That was your main event. It was Doink versus Mabel. And that was the only time talent ever crossed over. And that's how you sell the pay-per-views. That's how you sell the network.
Yeah.
But at this point, no. Before we get back talking about Raw, have you got to a point where you can't do that again because people expect to have, you know, some sort of good match? Granted, I don't need to see Reigns versus anybody. I am not a fan of Reigns at this point. I think, you know, I liked what they did Monday with Raw. I think having Rollins back and him working with AJ is the best thing that ever happened to the dude. But nobody sold on the guy except for Vince. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's just like you're sitting there like, okay, I don't really see. To me, he should be an hour one guy. You know what I mean? Put him in a squash, you know what I'm saying, hour one.
But they've done that the last couple of weeks. And he hasn't been featured in the main event the last at least 2 weeks.
He still gets made, not just main event when, you know, he still gets prime time when he's talking. Nobody wants to hear that dude talk.
Yeah. Well, you notice they put him on early because that's when the kids are up.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, and go real quick before we go into Raw, back to what Dixon's saying. I actually kind of think ROH does that in a way because
sometimes.
Every week you don't get their number one guys.
Yeah.
And for them to have a 1 hour, you know, there's not, it's hard
well,
to for the storyline. It's pretty impressive.
They get it. They're showcasing their talent in a way that the stars come off like stars, and you're only going to see them against other stars if you buy the paper.
Right, right.
And that's how I think if WWE. Or TNA decided to go. Like, that's how you reinvigorate your product. Because truthfully, it's way easier to get heat on somebody. Let's say with AJ. Instead of, who can you really sacrifice to AJ to make him look super heelish? He's already beaten Cena down.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Unless you're talking about doing the over and over again 3-on-1 beatdown until Cena picks a tag team to be his backup.
Yeah.
Like, for me, you put AJ out there with, like, this generation's Dwayne Gill, and you have him slap him senseless, beat him in 90 seconds, phenomenal forearm, styles clash, 1, 2, 3, the match is over. Now AJ's and the club are on this jobber. Cena comes out to save, Cena gets, you know what I mean? So like, you're featuring your talent, you're putting heat on them, and you can do the same thing with the baby faces if you just flip the script, but you're keeping the talent away from one another, and you're
in
actually building. Think about like all the Hogan Savage stuff.
I was just going to say,
yeah.
Back in the day, my favorite stuff was when a jobber would get their ass kicked by a bad guy, and then Hogan or somebody good from the locker room who had no alliance to that guy would come down and save him, and then the bad guy would scoot out the back of the ring, and then they would, you know, have words, and then
and
boom,
think
cut
back
out.
To those days too, where these feuds would last multiple pay per views,
right?
You know what I mean? It would go like, and granted, there were way less pay per views
then
than there's more now, but you know what I mean? Like, you could actually build feuds if you like take a look back at like WrestleMania 3, You know what I mean? You had the Hogan Andre thing that built for almost a year.
Yeah.
Savage Steamboat built for almost a year. Even the Bundy Hillbilly Jim thing had been going on for a couple of years, right. Even though they were in like a mixed midget tag team match. You know what I mean? Like, you need to go back to these long-term compelling storylines to keep people's interest.
And you can
in
still
there.
Do it through having all of these pay-per-views too. Yep. So it's not like you know, you just have the, hey, here's one pay-per-view. You can do it through
yeah,
multiple pay-per-views.
It was super successful with AJ and Reigns. Yeah. I mean, you know, they did it over a couple pay-per-views over a couple months. I know it's not as long as what you're saying, Dixon, but I'm hoping with the brands, but that's what they do because of the roster size, because they don't have to be on both shows. Mm-hmm. They can actually let some of these stories breathe,
right.
Have some awesome rivalries between the guys, and then you can switch it up after, you know, 4 or 5 months.
We'll see what happens, man. We'll see it. I don't think that'll ever happen, but at least we know the right writers from the NXT guys.
I'd just like to see them actually treat them like separate brands, where like you would go backstage at Raw, and Stephanie and Shane are there, and they're hammering out like a deal to make a trade, like,
which would be cool.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. if you add that element, because think about how big fantasy football is, you know, in America and amongst wrestling fans, especially because they nerd out on stuff.
Yep.
So, like, if you could incorporate these elements to that, I think you bring more reality to the brand split, and you're bringing more of like an armchair quarterback style fan to the table as well.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I just, we'll see what happens, man. We'll see what happens. Getting back to Raw, I'll tell you just a real quick, and I know I've been big on the whole Enzo and Cass thing. Those dudes are not pulling punches at all.
Enzo took a couple receipts that Cass put out there the other night.
Oh, big time. There's no doubt about it, man. And it's good to see him back in the ring, you know, and doing his thing. You know, that's definitely good, but man, dude, there's that, and then there was the Titus Rusev, where you know Titus hit him clean.
Dude is too stiff.
I mean,
he's been that way for years now. The way he throws people across the ring.
Well, I mean, this was a punch though. Like,
yeah,
he got him with a punch and a shoulder block that were not worked at all.
No, that punch was. I rewound that punch and slow mo'd it, and he definitely did not turn his face at the same time that fist hit his face.
No,
so it was just like. Oh.
And Titus don't know how to pull a punch.
He didn't pull it. You could tell he didn't pull it.
So you know Rusev took that shot clean.
Yep.
And you know that there's a receipt coming because Rusev's not the dude that you're going to get over on. Like
so
that.
Is badass. That obviously the whole USA thing and Memorial Weekend and all that? You think that's a feud coming? Is this going to be a push for Titus because they feel bad for it?
I think this is Titus's welcome back. Yep. We're going to give you the Zack Ryder treatment, and you're gonna get like a quick little flash on TV right before we release you in 3 weeks.
No, you think they're gonna let Titus go?
No, he's not.
What purpose does he serve?
None really.
Well, you need.
I mean, he's a good ambassador. I'll
Ross.
Give him that. He's an African American guy that does good work in the community.
Amazing
and blah blah
work,
blah.
Yeah.
But by the same token, like, I don't want to sound like a dick with this, but like, if I'm a little kid. You know what I mean? And I've got, like, cancer or some fucked up disease, and, like, WWE's going to send somebody, and I'm that kid, and you send Titus O'Neil, I'm a little disappointed, if we're being honest.
Well, because he's not a major guy.
Yeah, because he's a dude that I haven't seen on TV in a while. Mm-hmm. And
Most of those kids get to pick who they get to see,
no.
though?
No.
Yes.
No. Make-A-Wish, yes. Yeah. I'm not talking Make-A-Wish.
Oh, you mean when they send, like, 3 or 4 people into the hospital and they go on one of the floors?
I would be super bummed out if Titus O'Neil was my WWE guy.
But you could say that about... You could say that about 3/4 of the roster. Yeah. You know, they would always want somebody.
Really? Really? Who would you be less stoked about coming to your bedside as a little kid than Titus? Other than Heath Slater.
No,
or
actually,
Curtis Axel.
I would be really excited to see Heath Slater.
Yeah, the one-man band. He's kind of cool. Who would I be less? Tyler Breeze? I don't care about Tyler Breeze. Not saying he's not good in the ring, just Tyler Breeze.
But at least Tyler's been on TV for the last 3 months.
Fandango.
Also been on TV for the last 3 months.
Well, so I mean, Titus was suspended, and now they're giving him, he's going to have a match
but
against
where
Rusev
was he
on
TV before the suspension, Byron?
Huh?
Where was he on TV
Byron.
Before?
You just called him Byron.
Byron. Listen, JBL.
You are without a doubt, you are the white Byron Saxton.
Hey, I'll take it, man.
There's no doubt.
You guys have the same mouth.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. I don't know what that says about you looking at our mouth. I'll have to check out his mouth.
Paul,
I've heard I have a sexy mouth.
He sure do got a purty mouth, Paul.
I got a purty mouth. I mean, he was on TV. What are you talking about? I mean, he was...
Then explain to me right before his suspension, right before the Daniel Bryan goodbye, what was Titus doing on TV?
Nothing.
Exactly.
I would have to go back.
Because at that point, the primetime players, the reunion thing was over. He was doing nothing. He was jobbing on Main Event.
They have killed every angle that dude has been in. For no reason, a lot of times.
Yeah.
A
lot of times it's because of him.
Yeah.
He's bad on the mic. He's bad in the ring. You know what I mean?
Like, the primetime players thing could have really went, but I don't think there was like a foil there for it. You know what I mean?
See,
like,
I think the real primetime player should have been Otunga and Young.
Yeah.
Because those two guys actually can work.
And where the hell is Otunga?
I don't know.
He just shot a movie or a TV show.
Is he still signed in WWE?
Technically, he is still under contract.
He's got that hot wife.
Does you're right.
He's still under contract.
Yeah, it's crazy. But you know, I agree that it definitely should. Or how about three? Put three. You know what I mean? Like do three of them and have all three.
Well,
of them.
I did see
Titus is the killer.
I did see something on the internet over the weekend that I thought was an interesting idea that I won't take credit for. It was something on a dirt sheet message board. Mm-hmm. But instead of taking the tag titles during the brand split to both. Like, I think one of the most successful things that worked in Mid-South and Texas and is most certainly one of the biggest things in Mexico is a trios title.
Yeah.
You know, you have the tag title on one show, you do a six-man title on the other show.
Do you think maybe they're working towards that with the way they're doing triples?
I would hope so. I would hope that's the actual plan and they're not just, you know, throwing spaghetti against the wall.
Because that could be something that's kind of cool.
They're definitely doing that, too. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think they're going to put tag team belts on both. I think it's going to just be one. U.S. title will be on one.
Right.
Intercontinental will be on another.
IC will be on Raw. U.S. will be on...
All right, so back to the big men. You're just talking about how you want to see these guys fed. So for Rusev, who I'm a huge fan of, who could be a monster if they booked him right, if you feed guys like Titus to him over the next couple of months and he's squashing them, when he goes against a big name, whether it's Cena later down the road
can't
after AJ or another one, exactly, you can't
have him lose.
But you're also going to be like, okay, this guy's a badass because he's beating dudes like Titus. At some point,
but Titus,
you can't feed him the name.
It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything.
It does... It will if they book it right. It's the same way that you were just talking about.
But what you're not getting, Byron,
I'm always getting.
What you're not getting is that the term jobber is not to have six or seven guys on the roster whose job it is to get squashed all the time. That's what local talent is for. That's what indie talent is for.
Which they did finally use, which was amazing.
If you're gonna squash Titus with Rusev and then move him on to somebody else where he gets squashed, now you're devaluing Titus to the point where you have to release him because he's viewed as nothing. So instead of jobbing Titus to Rusev, other than the pay-per-view match, you know, obviously you've got to have your payoff match. Mm-hmm. You've got to have a couple more instances where they're in the ring together, but it can't be a match. You've got to have Rusev beating the snot out of these local kids and Titus making the save. That's how that works.
Do you think
they
go back to that?
But I'm not talking about...
I think they need to.
But yeah. I'm not talking about on the weekly, like, Raw. I'm saying on the pay-per-views that they have. If you're feeding Titus...
Of course.
On the next pay-per-view.
Over.
Yeah, so...
I think Jack Swagger's next in line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And totally. Then, you know, you run him through Rusev, you release him because he's useless.
Darren Young's definitely coming.
Darren Young's got to probably be in there as well. Yep. You know what I mean? Although they did, I think, drop the Backlund thing because Backlund put something online recently that made me think that he's done.
Well, they didn't do it this week, so
yeah,
they didn't do it on SmackDown. No.
Somebody retweeted a Bob Backlund tweet that ended up getting deleted later on. It said, "I will not be disrespected, regardless of how much money's involved." And it was up for a couple of hours. Somebody retweeted it, and then it went away again. So I think he realized that in a weird way they were mocking him. And I think on the other hand, too, if you're really looking at this dude. Backlund hasn't been relevant in the WWE since 1993.
Yeah.
So you're talking 23 years later. Most of your audience has no clue who that weird old man is anyway.
Nope.
And he's one of the most legendary WWF champions of all time, second longest reigning behind Bruno Sammartino. But to bring him back all these years later in a comedic role and not explain who he really is,
had a video package that explained to who, hey, Bob Backlund is and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Well, also how they were shooting it. Split screen, you know, they never were on camera. They were never in the ring. They weren't there live to get an audience reaction.
No, they were there together live, dude. They did the split screen thing. That's just WWE's thing to do.
Well, you know what I mean. Like,
they just did it
live
in
the ring.
Day.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you want to put a relatively senile 73-year-old Bob Backlund in front of a live crowd that's going to what him?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it didn't work the other way. So, I mean, why not? At least, and then if he's getting heat that way, then you get heat. I mean, I don't understand how they thought that was going to make that guy Darren Young face or Bob face
because
with
Vince.
That type of stuff.
It's Vince, and I think you're kind of losing the whole perspective of the thing.
I ain't losing shit. I am. What's his name? Byron Saxton, damn it. I understand this product.
There's sometimes when I just want to smack you.
You know, there's sometimes I just want to fucking pan your keyboard.
Who did Bob Backlund beat for his WWF title in 1978?
Are you seriously asking questions like this?
Yeah,
are
you seriously going to ask me questions like this?
Come on, you were 9 years old. You should be able to have the answer to this.
No, I was actually 15 at that time. 70s. What decade is that? Bruno.
Superstar Billy Graham. Who did he lose the title to? Who did Bob Backlund... Who ended Bob Backlund's first reign as WWE champion, 1983, Madison Square Garden?
Wasn't it?
Hogan.
Iron Sheik.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And
it was
the original Montreal Screwjob because they did not let Backlund in on the fact that they were going to have Arnold Skolin throw in the towel. Boom, Byron. There you go. Bob Backlund in a nutshell.
Ooh, you know more history about wrestling. I think we've come to that realization since the very freaking first show.
Right, but it just bums me out when, like, you think that the Backlund thing didn't work because of...
I didn't say it didn't work because of that. What I'm saying is if you're going to bring back a legend like that, you have to do more than it could have been live in the moment,
okay,
but
here,
it was taped for the show.
We're going to fast forward to your college days.
Okay.
Okay. Who did Bob Backlund beat for his second WWF World Heavyweight title run?
If it was early 90s?
Yep.
Yeah, I wasn't watching. I didn't watch until the Attitude Era, and NWO came in. I stopped watching.
You're almost
after.
40 years old, and you've only been watching wrestling for like 8 years?
No, I watched in the 80s, and then I took off from like 92 to 96.
Okay.
And then from 96, I was watching WCW until Stone Cold and
the best days of Raw.
So it was Bret Hart. He beat Bret Hart for the WWF World Heavyweight title. Do you know who defeated Bob Backlund in under 30 seconds in Madison Square Garden to capture his first WWF
Didn't
World Heavyweight
title?
Didn't
I call Bob Backlund last week or 2 weeks ago, like, Bill or something?
Yep.
So do you honestly think I'm going to know who beat him in under 30 seconds?
Diesel. Better known as Kevin Nash, or last week when you referred to him as Scott Nash.
Scott Nash, yeah, Scott Nash. I like Scott Nash. You combine those two together, you get Scott Nash.
Or Kevin Hall.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Great. So obviously it didn't work. It's probably done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to run you.
And no, that's a history lesson with Dixon. I don't give a shit. It doesn't buy.
But you should start giving a shit.
Well, I'm.
That's the problem. Maybe you need to start Wikipedia.
Here's the difference with you guys. I give a shit learning now when Dixon is teaching me, or you, Smoothie, when you throw down an occasional beat of knowledge. I am not going through Wikipedia and reading every single belt change in this late 70s through the 80s. If it comes up in a topic like it has right now, then I am eager to learn and to know it.
See, here's the thing, though. You'll dig through 15 internet dirt sheets to bring us 8 pages of irrelevant news, but you don't know Bob Backlund, who was the backbone of WWF before their TV run.
No, I don't, because I wasn't watching wrestling in the 70s or in the early 80s. Like, you act like you think that I'm a certain age. Shit, man, I wasn't watching
You're only
until...
You're 5 years younger than me, bro.
I wasn't watching until Hogan many years. I mean, my parents didn't even let me watch wrestling. I had to sneak a VHS from the video store to get, like, what pay-per-view was that, and then Superstar Saturday Morning.
So now you're trying to blame me for growing up Mormon.
Yeah, I'm trying to grow up that your parents didn't give a crap and let you watch what you want. That's when I'm giving a crap.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly.
Growing up Mormon.
There you go.
You were a Quaker. Now it's all our fault.
Yeah.
But okay, so here's not to keep railing on you. I don't know why.
Rail away,
this.
Dude.
So 3 weeks ago, you asked me who I thought Carl Anderson reminded me of, and then I gave you 3 or 4 reference points and a bunch of matches to go watch on YouTube. Did you do the research?
I did watch 2 matches on YouTube.
Do you remember the name of the guy that I sent you to watch? Yeah, exactly, Byron.
No.
Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer.
Smoothie?
No, I don't.
Okay,
he wasn't
so you
there. He wasn't
remember.
There. We had a conversation
no,
outside the
No, it
bathroom.
Was the 3 of us because
no.
I didn't know the guy
no.
and he knew who he was.
This was a separate conversation that you and I
no,
had
No, I'm talking about
the
on my podcast. I didn't know who those two were. You told me about them, much like what you're telling me now, and then we went. Like, I'm like the Padawan, if we're going to use a Star Wars. I am the
young boy.
I am the guy who is learning about the history way back in the day, or all the different organizations, Georgia Southern Wrestling, all of that type of stuff that I had no idea about. Hell, I never even watched one single match of WCW in the 80s. I didn't even know that really existed. I thought that was the redneck wrestling. until mid-90s. That's
Did
how
you just you call my, WCW redneck wrestling?
I said I thought that's what it
I mean,
was
not totally
back
wrong.
In the day. That's the way Man. I looked at it. So I was, I was a WWF
wrestling. Yeah, Von Erichs and
I'm not denying that. But I was a WWF freaking mark. So that's all I watched. And then when it got bad, when Hogan and Macho and all those guys that I grew up with left, and you brought in this new regime of the freaking Doink the Clowns and all that, and I started to get older in high school, I was just like, this is kind of corny. I'm not going to watch it until
realistic. So you just kind of said, okay, well, Hogan left, Savage left, all these guys left, and they replaced him with Doink the Clown. Doink wasn't headlining shows, man. That was the best
in-ring
wrestling
era. Yeah, and I wasn't
a fan
of those
guys. WWE. Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels. The list goes on and on. The early years of Scott Hall, the early years of Kevin Nash. You had Owen Hart in the mix. Yep. You had Davey Boy in the mix.
1-2-3 Kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, it was
from a wrestling standpoint. So basically what you're telling me is over the course of your TV viewing history of wrestling, you have not cared at all about the in-ring product. All you care about is where the stars are and what the storylines are.
What I've cared about was people who I like. So in the 80s, I was a kid.
Okay.
I'm watching WWF. In the 90s, I'm through high school. I wasn't watching wrestling. I wasn't one of those kids.
High school?
96. So I wasn't watching anything, not even WWF. I didn't even know it was on, like, live, or it was taped at that point. I didn't even
know
it was on USA or any of that. I just was out of the wrestling world. I didn't even watch Hogan and WCW or follow any of those guys when they went and signed there.
So
it wasn't until, honestly, it was NWO. I was a freshman in college. I heard Hogan went bad. I was like, oh shit, let me check this out. And then that got me in. And then I was all watching WCW every week and then into WWE.
So this is what we're going to do. We're not even going to call it a segment. You need to start doing some research. You got the network, so you can obviously watch all of that old stuff. YouTube and all these things. Every week, you need to come back to us, okay? Every single week, you need to come back to us and give us a report, all right? On what you have watched. And don't go listen to no wrestling podcasts or anything else.
They're not going
to
talk about the old stuff. Everybody
talks
about the present.
You
got to
stop with all the podcasts and get on the YouTube and the network and learn.
But the reason why I feel like I have there's two ways to go about it. For our podcast, if we're going to have a segment where it's what does Jay Veals know or a history lesson with Jay Veals and Dixon and Smoothie, then that's one thing. We can definitely do that. But listening to these other podcasts or watching the product now helps when we talk about the present or future of the wrestling.
It's disheartening for me to make a reference to what I would consider to be a TV era wrestler and have you look at me with a blank stare.
So from now on, can we start with the early days of Raw?
I think we got to go back further.
We'll go back further.
I think we at least have to start with Bill Watts Mid-South Wrestling League. Right.
But
80s,
I could say the
90s.
Same thing about sports, or I could say the same thing about movies. I could bring up decades or eras that you might have no idea
Let's do it.
Then.
But that's not this podcast.
Exactly.
This podcast is about wrestling.
So part of the podcast when I sat down with you two mother blankers was I want to learn more about the history of wrestling.
So here's your. So,
so we're going to give you a weekly homework assignment.
Okay, give me a weekly homework assignment. Right now on the podcast, so everybody knows what it is.
All right, Bill Watts, Mid-South Wrestling.
Yep. And it's got to be on the network, please.
If it's not, there's YouTube. Like, you ain't got the internet at your house?
No, because it's not.
He said you ain't got internet at your house.
Hey, you don't know my financial situation.
Yes, I do, Mr. Stitched Blue Jacket Coat.
Yes, I could watch YouTube, but it's a lot. I prefer watching it where it's the full package so I could get the idea.
This isn't about you, Jay.
It actually is about me. YouTube, I don't want a 5-minute video. Isn't really going to tell me. Okay, so Bill Watts.
Mid-South Wrestling.
Well, it might also be referred to as the UWF.
Yep. And come back to us with 5 good feuds.
Yeah. Well, let's say 3, just to make it easier for him, because he does have 2 kids.
All right.
3 feuds. What?
And give us a story.
What era? Give me like a time frame.
88 to 90.
There Perfect. You go. 88 to 90. So,
and I want you to watch this because there's going to be some faces that pop up that you're going to recognize from your college years that got their start with Watts in Mid-South in Louisiana.
And I'll put myself out there, and everybody can trash me. I didn't even know Seth Rollins and Daniel Bryan or whoever
were ROH guys.
I didn't watch ROH back then. I didn't watch
But you're
always
a
been
dirt
kind
sheet
of a WWE
guy.
Not until we started this. I never read dirt sheets about anything. See, I've just got the
wrong impression of you, seriously, bro. Complete wrong impression.
You definitely sold yourself as a, like, if there was a lemon law on podcast partners, bro, I'd be invoking that shit right now.
Hey, kick me off.
You know I love you.
That's so great. Anyway, we can't kick him off. He's the only one that runs the social media.
Yeah, it's pretty much true. And pretty much watches the wrestling on a weekly basis.
I watch it, dude.
You fast forward or you read the dirt sheets.
Fast forwarding counts, dude. I take up space on my DVR for like 3 hours.
There you go. So, all right, getting back into...
Doesn't count.
If they would really wrestle.
Okay, so I can fast forward through these 2 years.
No, you can't.
And these gotta watch it.
Because back then, the wrestling was enough to keep people's interests.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking, you sound like one of those Oscar Robertson in basketball about, oh, today's product versus the yesteryear's product of back in my day type thing. If you're fast-forwarding through now, it's no different than me fast-forwarding it through this. No, I will not I want to learn.
There's a huge difference because then it was an hour-long show, and there was at least 40 to 42 minutes of wrestling. Actual in-ring, man-on-man action, just like you like it.
Oh, jeez.
Now, if you're talking 3 hours of Raw, you're not even getting that 42 minutes of in-ring action. That's why I fast forward. Again, I will reiterate, I watch for the product that happens
between the ropes. Do you watch every wrestling match on Raw?
As long as there's no broads in it, for the most part, yes.
Sorry to our female Twitter followers out there.
There's no women following three dudes that look like us on a wrestling podcast.
First of all, nobody knows what
Twitter.
We look like.
You
second
put pictures
of all,
out there, didn't you?
No. Huh. I don't have pictures of you guys. And second, we look at our Twitter followers, and you will see they are ladies that are
there's
following us.
There's chicks out there?
Yes. Hey, actually, there's a lot.
Hey, chicks. I'm married.
Hey, girl.
How you doing?
I'm married.
How you doing?
All right, anyway,
how
Bill Watts, we'll talk about it.
And you can't teach that. All right, let's get back into
yeah,
things.
Yeah, let's
here.
Get off of
because we've been railing him for
feel
like
bad.
Jesus. My ass hurts right now.
The Reigns Rollins back and forth. Thoughts?
I dig it. I do think that it was sort of that's a bad analogy. I'm not gonna do that because Jay just informed me that there's ladies on the Twitter, but the payoff wasn't there. You know what I mean? It was just like there needed to be that situation where Reigns showed some bit of aggression instead of standing there passively with the microphone, like
that smirk on his face.
It just makes him look like a pussy, and I think that's why nobody's getting behind him.
And then when he finally went out and Reigns is talking, like, why are you talking? You're talking. Why? Nobody can hear you except for maybe somebody in the front row. It's like, why are you talking? You just shut your mouth, stare back.
Just like the whole spots on the ring apron thing, it's a Vince initiative to talk off the microphone because you can catch some of the audio with
makes
the
it feel real.
Camera. Yeah,
I mean to go on the other side of that is Rollins. I mean that special that they had on the network was awesome.
I saw
awesome.
Your tweet,
dude. It was awesome.
I saw your tweet, but I don't.
How do you not book him as a face after you have that special? How do you not root for that guy?
Face.
He can't. Number one, he can't work face.
Well, they're making him a pussy
two,
heel, running down and running back.
No.
But that's the idea. Is because the payoff is for Reigns to get his hands on him. It's the old Ric Flair method.
But the problem is, you're taking one of the best guys that the fans love. Look at exactly what AJ did with Cena. He ran into the ring after a beatdown and continued to beat him down, and it proved AJ's being a badass. At some point, if you want Seth Rollins to be this heel, except being this pushover, he doesn't have the corporation behind him as of right now. Have him show some aggression.
I agree on some of that. What I don't agree is what you tweeted is how can you have this package going on after Raw? Because if you remember back to when Triple H got hurt and he came back as a heel, I think the second time.
No, he came back as a face. That huge
but he switched. He switched very quickly.
Yeah.
But the thing is people want to see that behind the scenes footage, whether you're a bad guy or a good guy, and that kind of package. People want that. I want that.
You know I think the show is amazing. It should have been on there, but when you put that package together, much like they did with Triple H, you had like the fans are going to be behind that guy, especially against a range where everybody's going.
I think they did the exact right thing. He came back, he got a huge pop, and then he came back and he shitted all over the audience again. I thought that was the best.
So now you're going to have two guys where another match where they boo the heel like AJ, where they cheer the heel, which they're going to do with AJ, and then they're going to boo the face.
Who's cheering Reigns right now? It's the same people that are cheering Cena.
Yep.
It's kids
exactly,
and younger women.
Yep.
And those are the two demographics that are not going to watch that special on the network.
Right.
It's guys like us that watch the special on the network that appreciate the fact that he came out and was like, hey, I'm back. And you know what? Screw all of you. And that, because I got a little chuckle out of that. And I'm sure a lot of us
did. I did too.
Yeah.
That's why it works.
You know what? Sometimes
you have to understand exactly what this wrestling product is. And I think sometimes you lose perspective of it. Is what's on TV and what is forced out through things that used to be like WWE Magazine mm-hmm. are for these people that buy tickets to shows, shop in Shop Zone, cheer who they're told to cheer, and you're talking about children and young women. Real wrestling fans, like people that watch the other brands, people that know the history of the wrestling, the people that understand that there is no more fourth wall,
yep.
don't mind a special like that, because not only are you getting the perspective of seeing Seth heal himself, you're also seeing the real side of Seth
Rollins. You guys are missing my point. I'm not saying the special is bad. What I'm saying is if you make an hour-long special that puts guys like us to root for him, what I miss is this dude is face, this dude is heel. Daniel Bryan was a face. The crowd wanted to cheer for him. He was a face.
But he's an anomaly.
No, Seth Rollins can be a face. You can say he cannot, but you don't know that.
Dude, we saw them as faces when they were with the Shield, and it was awful.
They were a bad face faction.
I
don't know. How are you going to say that they're bad when basically nobody really talked? And it's a completely different.
Rollins
everybody
talked.
Wants to boo.
Yeah, Rollins was the talker.
Everybody wants to boo Reigns. Everybody wants to cheer Rollins. You have a special that proves that everybody wants to root for him and loves him even more so to see how hard he worked. Why don't you bring that onto the product? Yeah. Because why? I'm not going to boo Rollins.
Because
so I'm going to root for the bad guy.
Because the booker doesn't want it that way.
Exactly.
Let's go back to the mid to late 80s. Ric Flair, most notorious heel in the business. Getting cheered everywhere he goes because the climate was he was wrestling the goody two-shoes Ricky Steamboat and people were tired of it. Like, you've got to understand it's 2016, bro, and there's these gray areas that have to exist because that's the gray
area
that exists
in life. But you could have a 3 or 4 month. He could be face against Reigns. He could lose or he could win and then go heel right after. He could go heel, you know, in a big reveal. You had a perfect opportunity. I'm not surprised WWE did it this way, but you had a perfect opportunity where the majority of the crowd is hating on Reigns to bring a face.
Your fantasy booking for what you would want to see, not who the actual audience is.
I disagree. I think the majority, put it out there, I think the majority of the people would want to say, turn Reigns heel and keep and
all right,
put
let's go find a group of people then. Let's find a bunch of 20-something women, and let's find a bunch of 11-year-olds, and let's ask them.
But you're just saying that they're not a large percentage of the audience.
Let's take it.
My kid loves Reigns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my kid is he loves Roman,
and I bet you he boos the shit out of Rollins.
And yes, he does. So I mean, So you're talking to 6 and a 9 year old that love Reigns, and you know what I'm saying, boo Rollins
until they take the PG off. Yep. You're talking about children and young women that are going to cheer who they want to cheer, which is what Vince is force feeding them.
Which is fine, but that doesn't mean it's best for the product. It means it might sell
Nobody's
some extra.
It is,
but that's
just,
what I'm saying. I'm saying
not.
If you have.
You're talking in circles, bro.
Nah, dude. What I'm saying is the best thing for the product is to keep. Is to make Rollins go face because the majority of yes, it is the majority of the people are cheering for Rollins.
Here's,
look at the huge
no.
pop
let me ask,
he got
dude,
when
let me
he
ask you
back.
A question.
Hold on a second. Hold on
1 second. Who is louder, me, the 40-something guy, or the 11-year-old?
The Cena suck chance. Who the 40-something guy is louder in every arena. Don't give me that shit. It's piped in. The Reigns booing is louder than the Reigns cheering.
What was?
Yes, it is.
Because they're literally putting it in the room.
Hold on. Were we talking about the Cena and AJ?
Yeah.
Cena and AJ. Dude, look at the crowd. The crowd's not even moving.
Yeah, nobody cares. And there's a huge chant going.
There's a huge chant going. Dude, you can look at the crowd shots. Nobody's fucking cheering, bro. Nobody. And I can't say nobody. Very few of what you're hearing, They're not cheering, man. I'm telling you right
they
now,
have
they're piping that
and
in. They
have total control over the audio in every arena.
I realize that, but they also don't have complete control. You 1 minute you're saying it's the little kids and the girls are a small percentage, so people like
I'm
us want to see
a small
Ron.
Percentage. I'm saying they have smaller voices than the full grown men that are in the audience. That's
my point.
Why the boos outweigh the cheers.
You have there are more cheers. Look at what happened for Rollins when he showed up in the ring. That first time he came, look at all the cheers.
I don't disagree with
that. Nobody's discrediting
that. Those kids and those women would have cheered Rollins. It's not like Rollins is an ugly-looking guy. Yeah. It's not like the kids can't be guy. He has a wrestling style that fits a face that the kids would love.
Are you fantasy booking right now, though?
No, I'm not. I think that that's the best way to go. I think nobody likes Reigns other than the kids and women. Everybody thinks that he would be a better heel. He could kick Rollins' ass. I'm not saying Rollins needs to win. Make him heel, give him that because he's struggling as a face, and Rollins had a perfect opportunity to come back to a big pop, wash away the history with Triple H. He's not with Steph. He's not with H anymore. Come back. You have that documentary, which was fantastic, and then you have a nice face on Raw with the brand split to push that storyline forward. It was made perfect for him, but the only reason why is because Vince wants to keep Reigns' face, whether it's because of merch or because he has a boner for him. That's the reason why.
Do you listen to a lot of like Coast to Coast radio and stuff like Art Bell, what stuff? Like
no,
because you've got a whole lot of conspiracy theories, bro.
I don't think it's a conspiracy theory. I think it's common knowledge. Wait, that's a conspiracy theory. But you guys saying him piping in, them piping in the audio every single.
It's a taped show. What do you expect?
Raw is live.
We were talking specifically about SmackDown.
Okay, I'm talking about
Raw.
I was
talking about Raw.
The Cena.
Dude, Raw. Look at.
Let's go Cena and let's go AJ was live. So you're telling
piped in, man.
You can't pipe that in when
bullshit,
it's live.
You can do anything
degree.
Nowadays.
Come on. Man,
it's TV,
it's the
bro.
Same thing.
How do they?
Like
how do you think
the
they stop with the "you fucked up" chants or the "you"? You know what I mean?
They
like
kill the audio. Of the
they,
audience.
They kill the audio when they start with the Daniel Bryan chants, the CM Punk.
I'm
chants.
Not saying they can't,
except for the one time with Vince.
Yeah,
dude. I'm just saying.
I'm not saying they can't
all,
kill
all
it.
I'm
pipe
saying,
it.
All I'm saying. But we got to move on. All right, so we're gonna move on because this is a con. We could go
hit
back
us back
and forth.
Up on Twitter, Facebook, and let us know what you like.
All right. Real quick, because we got to get into the news, the swerve with Cena and AJ, which we were just talking about.
Loved it. Absolutely loved it.
And do we see Balor come, or is he going to stay down in NXT right now?
Man, Jay and I talked about this last week, which I think there's two sides to this, which is you bring Balor up, and it becomes the club with four guys, and then after AJ's feud with Cena, you transition to a fight for power within the club.
Yep.
I don't necessarily know who gets that control, but
could
I
be a
assume,
good feud, though.
Yeah,
right?
I think you've got to go. AJ's being positioned as the top heel on SmackDown, which is why he attacked Cena on Raw this week. So I don't necessarily know that you want to feed a young Balor to AJ. Mm-hmm. So I would have a tendency to maybe keep those two apart.
Well, maybe you bring Joe up and let those two feud through the club at angle.
I think the intention for the main roster is Nakamura and Joe.
Oh, there you go.
Is the last little rumor I heard.
Right.
As far as there being a fourth member to the club, I don't know that it has to happen right away.
Could we go? I mean, could they go to what we saw on TNA when they were doing Aces and Eights? What we've seen in with the Bullet Club overseas? Could they go to five or six guys? Will Vince allow that to go that
route?
I
think it needs to.
You know,
because
that becomes kind of cool. You know what I mean? That becomes the now it's a club. Now it's really a club.
And
you
need that guy that you can send out there that's a younger dude or a less established dude to take the loss when the club has to lose.
Right.
You know, so whether it's, obviously it's not going to be like a Tyler Breeze or whatever else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you're talking that level of guy.
Right.
I'll be shocked if they bring up Balor as much as he's tweeting and putting it out there that he isn't part of the club. And,
we'll see.
Know.
See, I think it's more along the lines of the click when they're talking about the club during social media. I think this is us. This is our brotherhood. I don't necessarily know that he's tweeting about him joining them on TV.
Right.
Well, and he helped that swerve, you know, him putting when they were supposedly breaking up on Raw 2 weeks ago, and then he tweets about how he's now going to be with those two.
And he put that picture.
Puts the picture on it, so he helped with it. So.
All right, let's get into the news.
All right, the BS News Report. Smoothies playing some awesome.
Byron Saxon, is that what the BS stands
for? Oh, yeah. We're going to start real quick with the big match that everybody is talking about, the Will Ospreay and Ricochet in New Japan. New Japan World. Did you guys see it?
Vader shit all over it.
Vader. Oh, everybody's talking about it. I mean, it was even on ESPN. You can watch it free online right now. You should definitely check it out.
I think Ricochet is a dude that should be in the E. Just putting it out there.
And there were rumors about that before. Yeah, he was awesome. I mean, I liked the match. I thought it was awesome what they did. I mean, I wanted to see a little bit more actual fighting. But so the biggest thing was Smoothie. Did you see it?
No.
Okay. And you should definitely watch it because literally everyone is talking about it. Netflix has ordered a new series based on 80s promotion GLOW, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Oh, that was so great, wasn't it?
Orange is the New Black creator. It'll be 10-episode series, and the show will be inspired
Benji also did Weeds.
Yeah.
Yeah. The writer of this new GLOW show.
Interesting.
Well, it's the writer. He's one of the writers. It's Genji Cohen, yep. who is the creator of Orange. So it will be
also the creator of Weeds, bro.
Go for it. Go.
It'll be on the set in L.A., featuring an out of work actress who finds one last attempt to live out dreams in the form of a weekly series about female wrestlers. I think that's going to be pretty dope, especially being on Netflix. You don't have to worry
with,
about
Genji Cohen at the helm. It has the probability of being successful. Yeah.
On to Jimmy Superfly Snuka trial update. A Lee Valley judge, Pennsylvania, said he is not competent to stand trial in the 83 death of a girlfriend, Nancy Argentine.
Shocker.
Sides will return to court in 6 months for another hearing to reevaluate his mental status. Come back in 6 months.
I just think people are done with it and over it.
Part of it is he's currently going through cancer treatment, and anybody who's going through cancer treatment can't stand trial based on chemotherapy and the effect it has on the brain and blah, blah, blah. Snuka's going to die. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I hate to, it sucks. He was my favorite growing up, especially heel Jimmy Snuka. Hands down, favorite performer of all time. It's disheartening to say the words out loud, but I don't think Snuka sees the end of this year. He's an older guy who's very sick. And, it's one of those things where, like, yeah, he probably did do what they're saying he did, but is it fair to put him on trial all these years later when he can't remember what he had for breakfast, let alone what happened in 1983?
Well, and with the ruling, they won't. So it's unfortunate for the family, though, who would like to, put that case to rest. Last week we talked about the hashtag hatch tweet by WWE. The big reveal on Monday night was Goldberg being featured in the 21K17 game. Last time they did this, it was Sting. He had a run. According to Goldberg, he says he has at least 50 matches left in him. He's not as big as he used to be, but now with his martial arts skills, that he would be a force in the ring. Would you guys be excited to see Goldberg?
No.
Yeah.
He's 51 years old, man. Like, I don't want to see some senior citizen in the ring. Like, we learned this with Sting. When you put old guys in the ring with young guys, they get hurt. If you want to do, like, a nostalgia match.
Triple H Sting was cool.
Yeah.
The whole Rollins thing, now we see.
Well, the thing is Triple H being an older guy protected Sting in the ring. Didn't try and pull anything off.
Yeah.
Rollins' style doesn't bear well to have a senior citizen in there because you're going to hurt him.
Yep. And his dream match was with Brock at Mania. And I'm like, come on.
Brock will break him in half.
Bray Wyatt is set to be at next week's Raw and SmackDown tapings, according to PW Insider. So do you think he's the final man in the Money in the Bank?
Probably.
Okay. Don't Smooth.
Care. I mean, I like Bray. It's just like he's injury prone.
Yeah,
I'm over it.
Brooklyn Brawler reportedly got backstage heat after calling into Taz's live internet radio show. The Taz radio show appearance is not the official reason he was let go, but I guess it was one of the final straws. Not sure what was said, but for those out there that don't know, if you work for WWE, podcasts and all media appearances need to be cleared by the company, and it looks like he did not do that, especially with Taz.
You know what? I don't think he cared at that point. He's like, I know I'm gone. See ya.
You think he didn't care? Do you think that he just thought he was untouchable because he had been there for 31 years, that he thought, oh, little internet radio show won't get me in trouble?
No, because everybody knows how much the Taz WWE thing is. There's a bunch of issues there. Yeah. So
you're either looking to get fired or...
Yeah. According to Dave Meltzer, this will please both of you. Vince McMahon isn't the biggest fan of Sasha Banks and thinks she's injury prone.
Didn't I say this last week? This is my news from last week.
You've been saying this for the last couple of months, both of you. Meltzer says that Vince has told officials on numerous occasions that he believes she only knows one speed in the ring, All Out, compares her to Daniel Bryan. On Monday, there was conflicting reports regarding the status of the NXT takeover in Brooklyn, that Ticketmaster pulled it, which meant NXT before SummerSlam was not happening. That is not the case. It is back on. Ticketmaster will have it back up here in the next couple of days. So because it's called The End, we talked about it last week, everybody was thinking, oh, shit, does this mean NXT is done? They're taking a little break. They don't have enough star power for a big show in Brooklyn.
Do you want to know why they pulled the tickets, bro?
I would love to know.
They had to reconfigure the arena to put more seats in because of the ticket sales.
There you go. A little inside information. See? It looks like NXT's American Alpha was the tag team to be called up to the main roster in the fall. They feel that they're ready, but it'll probably be sped up. Do you guys think that they need a manager?
They're going to pull them up with Cena.
Yeah. Think it'll be Cena?
Yep.
Yeah. It's a great... great point. Ric Flair is getting back into the podcast world after discontinuing his show. He cut it off before so he could travel with WWE. He's now going to have a different company and a new show name that's coming out. Smoothie, your girl who you always talk about, Velvet Sky, did an interview with Sports Illustrated's Extra Mustard blog, saying how she wants to come into the WWE and how she would give it her all. Will she make it? You guys were talking about how she would be a perfect person to come in.
She won't make it, but I'll tell you right now, any of those TNA girls from back in the day would easily crush the freaking WWE.
You don't think
will she make
bring
it
in
as a wrestler?
No. Will she make it into
will
the company?
Will she make it into the company,
will
period?
She be into not the champ, on the
maybe
roster.
Maybe NXT. Only because of who's down there, and those are some of the there's TNA people down there.
Could she be LPs with Dudleys?
I think if the mindset changes and they start using valets and managers again, yes, she most certainly has a future in the E, but I don't know that that's this generation or not.
Right.
I am really excited about this. I want to know what you guys' feedback on this. WWE will be hosting an all-access event at their Performance Center in Orlando on July 25th. This event will allow attendees to try out things like attending a production meeting, cutting your own promo, making entrance on the ramp of wrestlers, cheering you on, breakfast, gift bag signings, meet your stars. How much do you think that is?
$1,500.
Easy.
On the dot.
It's a money
$1,499 per person.
It's
you must
be
18 years or older. $1,500 for that?
And you know what?
There'll be
a ton of people there.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, they'll sell out.
Yep.
Would you guys, if you guys had $1,500 extra dollars, would you?
Nope. No.
No, hell no. Same here.
You would.
No way.
Yes, you would.
Absolutely not. No. I wouldn't spend $1,500 unless it was like hanging out with The Rock, sure. Cody Rhodes' first post-WWE match will be against Kurt Angle that takes place on August 27th in Wappinger Falls, New York. We need to go to this.
Which means would he you had be excited a 90 to see day. This? If you do the math, yeah, he had a 90-day no-compete if that's his first match.
Yeah, I think that... I'm excited to see it.
Whatever. I could care less about Kurt Angle.
Yep. Speaking of Rhodes.
I want to see Cody Rhodes and Mike Skyros. Hashtag that.
Hashtag it? All right, I'll say it's from you. Speaking of Rhodes, this dude is stepping up a social media game lately, man. He had a pretty awesome tweet about his bucket list. And on that bucket list, it had, in order, Adam Cole, Dalton Castle, Bola, Angle, Hero, The Miracle, Moose, Pat Buck, The Streamers Thing, which is ROH, Young Bucks, Trevor Lee, Shibata, personal ring announcer, probably his wife, and Roderick Strong.
Because
pretty awesome.
You know, dude, we all knew he could tweet. The thing is he's, you know, you're under that umbrella.
But he's jumping right on it, which I love. Like, you know, sometimes he's take a step away. You got the 90 days.
No. See, I'm going to tell you right now, Cody Rhodes knows his worth and what he can make out there on the indie circuit and doing what he's doing and help. I'm telling you right now, he's going to turn into a guy like his dad and he's going to help build this business back up in the indies.
Well, we were talking about it, how these guys like an AJ can go out and do these different promotions, rediscover themselves and come back stronger.
Cody is also a salt of the earth kind of guy. Yep. This isn't a dude like Van Damme when he left WWE or Jeff Hardy who's going to be like, yo, I need 12 grand. I need a first-class flight. I need a 4-star hotel. Cody's going to be the guy that's like, okay, let me work with you. What's your general draw? How much can you afford to pay me? And he's going to work with you. He's 100% going to work with you. I think that Cody's going to make it affordable for indie promoters based on the fact that he has this bucket list. Homeboy has the bucket list, wants to work these guys. I don't know that he's going to beat up indie promoters. And I also think that Cody's going to be the guy that comes in and helps some of these shindy guys get their shit together.
Yeah, sounds like, you know,
Let's go down that list again and see, because there were a couple things that intrigued me and there were a couple that I didn't care about.
So I love the Adam Cole, which was number one. I love the
Dalton. There's going to be such a size difference that it's not going to be.
I think Cole can go with anyone. I love Dalton Castle.
I think that's a good match because they both have a really solid amateur Greco-Roman background.
I also think Castle's personality can bring some stuff out of Cody that he wasn't able to show on, you know, with WWE. Bola.
I'm not 100% sure who that is.
Yeah, either am I. Angle, which is already done.
Don't care.
Hero.
It's already happened, man.
Yeah. Hero.
I don't know. I've never been a big Chris Hero fan. I really wanted to be, but, you know, like, if you can't commit to getting yourself into the shape that your employer is asking you when you know that you're working for an image-based company, despite how good you are in the ring, you shouldn't bitch when you're let go. And he did, and his ring work's fantastic. But I personally don't care that he looks like a sloppy mess on the indies, but Vince did.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it would be a match that people there would like to see, but it's not selling any, you know, pay-per-views. The Miracle.
Mike Bennett. I would pay to see Mike Bennett and Cody Rhodes. I think they're very well matched up. I think body-wise, it's a perfect match. I think wrestling-wise, it would work really well.
Yep. Especially if he going down personal ring announcer and with Bennett's valet. That could be kind of cool. Moose. I'm a big Moose guy. Yeah. Pat Buck.
Maybe. I think that again, I think, would be okay.
The Super Kicks, a.k.a. Young Bucks?
Nah, I don't care.
Trevor Lee?
Yes. Yeah. 100% yes. Trevor Lee.
Lee's with who?
He is part of the Helms Dynasty in TNA.
TNA. So what I loved what he did was he did a nice job of putting ROH, New Japan, and TNA in there to say, hey, I might be in anyone or all these promotions.
I'll tell you.
Shibata.
And I alluded to this on our Facebook page, is the one dude who's in Japan that I think Cody should go and sit with and learn from. And I'm not talking in-ring. I'm talking how to do this and make money doing it is Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah.
Because Shelton ain't hurting for nothing right now. Like, homeboy got released, said, okay, I'm going to go to Japan. And has been in Japan for almost 8 years now, and you haven't heard nothing about him because he's over there making his money and being Shelton Benjamin.
And having awesome matches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Roderick Strong. Shibata and Roderick Strong were the last two.
Roddy and his shitty little boots, I don't care.
Yeah. So many people are huge, strong guys.
He's too plain.
Yeah, it's just boring for me.
It's vanilla pudding.
Okay, on to one last Bray Wyatt. He tweeted about, for you, Abby, Sister Abigail, another hint at it, with a silhouette of a woman in the woods. Do you think that will be soon, and who do you think it could be?
I don't know.
Bella Sky?
No.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, ODB doesn't have a TNA contract anymore, and she kind of looks like those.
She's not with the guys on ROH anymore?
The Briscoes?
Yeah.
She never got signed to a contract.
She was just there for a couple of shows.
I could see her, you know, kind of doing that role. You'd definitely have to, like, dye her hair black.
Yeah. But she could definitely come in and do.
Yeah.
And be a killer.
She would be awesome. She'd be perfect.
China type style.
Because she's about the same width as Bray. I mean, she's not as tall, but they've got similar body styles. Mm-hmm. Her titties are bigger, but.
Yep. Never know. We've never seen Bray shirtless. Here's some information. Teens are now drawing butts on their noses to make them twerk. You guys know that? It's a pretty big thing out there.
I'm going to stab you.
A big factor in SmackDown going live on Tuesdays and the brand split was USA was very dissatisfied with the ratings. So they put the pressure to do something and change it up. Rey Mysterio was on ESPN's Highly Questionable with Dan Le Batard promoting Lucha Underground. Pretty cool seeing ESPN not only embrace WWE but other wrestling promotions. And then the very next segment was them talking about the match between Ospreay and Ricochet and commenting on it. So that was pretty cool. Who do you guys got in the NBA Finals? Pick it. Who you got? You guys are sports dudes?
Cavs.
Cavs, how many games?
Four.
Four? Sweet. You think there's... Oh, God. All right.
Warriors.
How many games?
Six.
Six? All right.
Are we done now?
Nope. I'll tweet out my pick. Last week, I asked you guys who was the first...
No. Before I hit the stop button.
Don't be hitting stop. I got a couple things for you guys.
No, you, dude. Hey, we're after an hour.
You guys railed on me for 30 freaking minutes. I'm getting through my goddamn news.
It wasn't
news.
You guys. It was me.
Yeah, exactly.
One railed on me for 30 minutes.
Who's your pick? You can't just tweet out. Who's your pick? I'm going to tweet it out. No, who's your pick?
I think the Warriors will win. But I think I'm rooting for the Warriors, but I think Cleveland in seven.
All right.
Last week I asked you guys who would be the first in the next round of cuts. You guys said the one-man band. Well, Dixon said Heath Slater. Well, that might be wrong because the fifth installment of the Marine franchise is shooting this week, and it's going to star Slater, Bo Dallas, Curtis Axel, Naomi, and Maurice.
Why are they?
Wow, that sounds awful.
Yeah, oh sounds awesome. The Rock. This is the Pebble Corner. Will portray Doc Savage, Man of Bronze, on the big screen, and the movie will be written and directed by one of my favorites, Shane Black. Doc Savage is known as the world's first superhero and the inspiration for Superman. Dude's awesome. He can do it all. Suck It Dixon and the Hype Brothers. Hype. Mojo and Zack Ryder worked the main roster house shows last weekend. Smoothie, you were talking about bringing them up and having them as a team. So
makes sense.
Looks like they're really pushing that tag team.
They could also be the team that goes with Cena against the club.
Yeah. Could be. I said that. We talked about that the other day, too.
Yep. Do you guys plan on taking your kids to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows this weekend? Because Sheamus is featured in it, and he is the big bad guy, the Rhino.
I'll see it in about a month.
Redbox, bitches.
I'm not dumb enough to go to the theaters. Well, after I just paid $70 to go see freaking Captain America, I might not.
Wait on that one. Yep. Reviews aren't that great. Now the new drug to snort for club goers is chocolate, not cocaine. Literally chocolate, dudes.
Are you serious with this shit right now?
And here's another thing. Indiana police are trying to figure out who secretly laced. This is for Dixon. Who laced cookies with marijuana? Six
members, 12 to 70, tested positive.
He's off. I'm done with him.
No, you're not.
No,
this
your
isn't
mic
wrestling
is off.
Stuff, dude.
Hey, listen, this no, is this
news.
Is not.
This
no,
is the news.
No, you're off. Back. We're done. We're done. All we're wrapping right, up the show. Nobody can hear you.
Come on,
no,
come
no, nobody can hear you. You're done. It's over. It's over. Ago, this is why he didn't want to show us the damn sheets.
Seth Rollins delivered the chair shot around the world when he struck Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose today.
I think it's funny. He's still talking in the microphone. It's off.
I couldn't hear you in the microphone.
No, we're done. That's going to wrap up the B-Show this week, my friends. You guys enjoy it. We'll see you next week.